Hour number three, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones off until Monday. Billy Lanny has slid over. Rob Bradford just joined us for the last hour. If you miss any of that, you can check it out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Just subscribe to Jones and Keefe. You can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. You guys can join us at 617-779-7937. Ryan Davey from the Hashtag Dork Podcast will join us 1 hour from now. A lot of dork news and notes to get to. Of course, grab bag after that. But let's get back to your Red Sox calls. Let's go to Mario in Boston. Wants to talk about Jarren Duran.
I'd like to see either Pivetta and Cease involved with maybe like a Jackson Merrill. I think that would be great. Jackson Merrill could be the future, and Pivetta or Cease could help us in the rotation.
Okay, so I don't think they're trading Jackson Merrill.
So they're going to trade a starter and the reigning rookie of the year for Jarren Duran?
I don't believe so. So let's forget that part of it. Nick Pivetta and Dylan Cease. So those are the top two starters right now for the Padres. Michael King is good, but Michael King's been hurt. I think Michael King is currently still hurt. He's only made 10 starts this year. So Pivetta and Cease, both over 100 innings pitched so far. Dylan Cease has a 4.88 ERA. He was at one point nasty, so maybe that's your change of scenery guy, Bill.
It's a simple fix.
And he's all right. He's 3-9 with a 4.88. Nick Pivetta, old pal Nick Pivetta, is 9-2 with a 2.88 ERA in 122 strikeouts in 109 innings. And yet, something about that would make me very disappointed. If it was like a different pitcher with those stats, I'd be like, ooh, look at this. But if you're just bringing back Nick Pivetta for Jarren Duran, like,
right.
No, I can't. I can't.
When Pivetta was here, I think there were too many ups and downs to get excited about that trade.
They put him in the bullpen. Right. They were like, they had to demote him, and it wasn't like they were loaded with starters.
He was the one that got rocked in Colorado last year after the All-Star game. They gave like 11 runs in 2 innings.
Was that the same game that they went after Reese McGuire?
I think it might have been the same
game. Wait, was it Cal Quantrill?
Yeah, Cal Quantrill was yelling at him after he
that was at home, too, right? So he wasn't...
No, Colorado.
No. I know he was with Colorado. Was it in Colorado?
Oh.
I'm just trying to justify Pivetta. Trying to justify Pivetta getting lit up.
Actually, Jarren Duran was trying to fight all of Denver after that happened.
That's never happened with Jarren Duran. No way. I don't believe you. But yeah, was it up and down? Remember, and then Pivetta... they put him in the pen, but then he'd like pitch sometimes like in the second inning because they'd have like the opener. And then he went like 7 innings once out of the pen, or like 6 or 7 out of the pen with a bunch of strikeouts. So yeah, I don't want Nick Pivetta back. He pitched actually for the Red Sox more than he's pitched for anybody else because they got him from the Phillies. And then now this year he's been really, really good. But there's a whole bunch of former Red Sox that are out there. Chris Sale, Nick Pivetta, Nathan Eovaldi. I would be happy with Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah, man. I'd take Eovaldi.
I don't want either of the other guys.
And how long does Sale out for?
Good question.
He's actually started throwing again. He can come back like August 19th is the earliest he can come back.
That was a rib injury?
All right, so he's out for
he broke a rib diving for a line drive.
Trying to make plays out there.
A hustle injury.
It was.
Shame him for that?
I think it's better than falling off a bike, you're right.
He's getting his uniform dirty. You know, what do you want him to do? Yeah, not a bike injury, not smashing TVs down in Worcester like he was doing after one of those rehab
starts. Destroyed that TV.
The TV had no chance.
None.
Saw Chris Sale coming? You got to run the other way. But yeah, he's playing catch, but he's not available for another month. And then you saw it last year with the Braves. He literally won the Cy Young Award, and then they had an extra game for a playoff spot, and he wasn't available. So, no, I don't want Chris Sale, and I don't really want Nick Pivetta. I would take Nick Pivetta if it was like a separate deal, but not for Jarren Duran. And I don't think you're doing a deal with the Padres unless it's for Duran, because that's the one thing we know. Over the last month, they've been going nuts for Jarren Duran. That's who they want. Yep. Let's go to Zach in Bridgewater. He joins us next. What do you got, Zach?
What's up, Keith?
Hey.
I got a sick brag for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm in Nantucket on Tuesday, and it's, the evening, walk into a bar. Romy, Roman, and Marcelo just sitting there. You ever met any of them?
Yeah, Marcelo Meyer was on the show. Great, great dude.
Yeah, friend of the show. That's right. They gathered around me and my girlfriend, and they're just like hanging out, talking to us. He thought they would have been like T-ball boys, but they were wicked cool.
Yeah, all good. All right, thanks, Zach. How about that?
Wonder how tight his grip on his girlfriend's hand got when those guys walked over.
See the guy took the video of him walking off the boat with like the eight women?
By the way, that video has made the rounds. People are all over that video. But yeah, they're the everyman.
This is my gal. Just pulls her in real quick. This is my girlfriend.
Oh, we gotta go.
She's with me.
We have to go now. Yeah, you see those three guys coming. It's like, no.
Hide your sisters.
Hide your girl. Hide your wife. Romy, Roman, and Marcelo rolling through there. That's good. Hopefully they enjoyed their All-Star break. It looks like they did based off off of those videos. And hopefully they come back swing in the second half. I'm also with Bradford on this. I don't want to just strictly platoon Meyer. Now that Bregman's back, Meyer should play a good amount. Now, maybe not every single game. You'd certainly have to find a way to get Roman Gonzalez in there. You got to find a way to get Rob Refsnyder in. So, like on Saturday, they're facing a lefty. I would expect both of those guys in. But don't just sit him every time, because you might get a series like they had against the Yankees where it's like all lefties. Like, how do you know he can't hit him unless you give him a chance? I'm interested on this and where this could go.
It's funny because I saw it. I'm like, what the hell is this about? And then it clicked. I know this guy.
Ed in Winchington has something specifically for Lanny. Ed, what do you have?
Billy.
Eddie D. Yep.
Do you remember when we did the remote in the barn?
Guy had a horse barn. I do. No, I do. So this was my first radio station.
And one of my mayors had a foal. And that foal went to believe it or not, San Francisco, and won about $100,000.
Yeah, dude raised horses and sold horses. It was awesome. Yeah, Eddie D was a good
guy.
He might be the hoss of the week. Eddie D in Winchendon might be the hoss of the week for us.
All right,
literally hoss of the week.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a good time.
But we had a lot of fun, Billy. I'm glad you're back on there, man.
I appreciate it, Eddie. Thanks for listening, bud.
All right, thanks, Ed. Wow. So. All right, just to fill everybody else in, an early radio job of yours, you guys did a show from a horse barn?
Yeah, he owned a horse barn.
And you're like, that's a good spot for a show?
I didn't have a say in it. This is what you're doing. This is where you're engineering the show. I said, done and done.
Who was the show? Do you remember?
It was him. It was Eddie D. It was just him talking sports.
No, he had a show. I didn't know if it was like Russillo.
Yeah, he had a show. No, it wasn't them. It was one of the handful of shows at 1510 in the Zone back in the day.
Yeah.
Eddie D did a sports show. I think he did it a few days a week, and one of them was at his horse barn. It was awesome.
And then that horse, the day you were there,
gave birth. And
did
then,
you
like,
watch that happen?
No, I didn't.
The miracle of life, but with horses?
I didn't see it. I knew it happened, but come on. I got engineering equipment I got to keep an eye on.
That's a good point. You can't get that stuff
wet. Eddie D's a good dude.
Did you watch the miracle of life video in high school?
We did.
Did it blow your mind?
I think it was fifth or sixth grade we might have watched.
Tom's nodding. He's still terrified from that day.
It might have been like fifth. I think it might have been fifth grade where it was like, this is what we're doing today. And everybody's like, wait, what? Like, we had no idea this day was coming because it was like, we had our regular half. We went to lunch.
Teacher hits play, walks out of the room, and you're like, what?
What is this?
Abstinence is the way.
You're doing this after lunch?
You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, they separated the guys and the girls, and they're like, all right, we're doing sex education today. It's like, where is this coming from?
And I probably saw it in, like, the year 2000, and yet the video was from, like, 1972.
Yeah,
and
right.
Like, why is this has not been updated?
Right.
This is insane. I'm like, is this still how they do it?
Right.
Kids screaming.
Grainy, low definition.
Mom screaming. Doctors screaming. I'm like, this is
unnecessary.
Scene.
I know we have to learn how this stuff happens, but I don't need to see it at this age.
Like, I'm going to need to block this out of my head.
I thought the stork dropped it off.
That's what I was told. They'd go over with the babies, and then there you go.
Yeah, no.
Two people love each other very much, and all of a sudden they get a baby. Right. There you go. Turns out a lot more to it. Wow. But anyway, I'm glad you were there for the birth of that horse. I don't think a lot of people could say that.
Nope, I don't think they can.
Speaking of Hoss of the Week, we need to determine the Hoss of the Week by tomorrow. And I feel like we have a few nominees. The Dumper family.
Of course.
Cal Raleigh wins the home run derby. His dad threw to him, and his brother was the catcher. All big dudes.
Right?
All hosses.
Was the younger brother taller than Cal?
Looked like it.
He might have been.
In the one photo, I think he might have been. Whoever the Red Sox drafted in the second round, 6'4", 250-pound pitcher, Hoss nominee.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Number one movie in America, Superman. Superman Hoss? Or do you not consider Superman a Hoss?
I mean, he's a hoss. Like,
he's
a hoss. Look what he does.
Yeah.
That's hoss.
David Cornsweet, though, the actor, I wouldn't, like, not, like, Henry Cavill more Hoss of the Week potential.
I mean, if we're doing that, then Dean Cain is my Superman Hoss of the Week.
Is Dean Cain your Superman?
No, Christopher Reeve. I grew up with Christopher
Reeve's your Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Who's your Superman, Nick? Dean Cain? Or the dude from the CW show?
It's definitely not that. It's Henry Cavill.
It's Henry Cavill.
But actually, Cornsweet, 6'4".
That's good. That's going to be like the cutoff.
That's Haas height.
Yeah, it's Haas height anyway. I don't know if he's got the thick build, though. Not thick enough, some would say.
Go on.
Shane Gillis may be Haas of the Week.
Could be. He had a good week.
Gillis had a really good week. So anyway, those are just some of your Haas of the Week nominees. We were talking about some trade possibilities with Bradford. Did he completely pour water on the Joe Ryan?
A little bit.
I kind
of
did.
A little bit. Took the wind out of our sails a little bit.
I don't love that.
But I'm glad he didn't come in and think like, oh, yeah, no, they're going to get this done. I'm glad he didn't pump it up. I'm glad he was honest with us. It was painful honesty, but I'm glad he gave it to us.
How do you feel about that, Billy? You okay? They're not going to get your
Hey, look, it'd be a win, but I'm not expecting it to happen. It'd be awesome, but
it would be so awesome.
He's going to be stuck at Target Field.
But the thing, yeah, and I wonder if they even care in Minnesota, and if so, if they got wind of those comments where he's like, oh, the trade deadline's so exciting. We want to see where people go. He's if I get traded, that's exciting.
We got that big mall here. Minnesota's pretty cool.
We got that. There's a roller coaster inside the mall. That's kind of about it. Get an Orange Julius, though.
Yeah,
still got those going. Yeah, but that's too bad. And then who was the other baseball guy, Nick, that you said the same thing? Where it's like,
Feinsand.
Okay, Feinsand said, unlikely Joe Ryan gets traded. Now, I don't really look at that as the be-all, end-all. Every GM with a really good player right now is going to be like, yeah, it's not happening.
Right.
You got to really knock our socks off. Because my thought is the Red Sox have enough. Like you asked Rob, could they put together like the best trade package? Right. I think even with guys you're willing to trade, I bet they do. Now, if you're the Twins, maybe you say, we're just going to ride it out anyway. We're not paying Joe Ryan a lot of money right now. We can wait till the offseason, get everybody bidding on it, and try to get like what the Red Sox got for Garrett Crochet. But if you're the Red Sox and you say, listen, like we don't want to waste this season and the potential of this season, and is there enough from the minors? Or maybe, like, would you be willing to part with Willy or Abreu? I know. He's leading the team in home runs.
I know. So it's tough just the way the team's playing now. You look at them, you're like, nope, I don't want to get rid of him. You're in a fan comes out and they're playing well. You're like, why mess it up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, but
Willy or feel like the odd man out, though. He rarely plays against lefties.
Yeah, what is your ideal outfield for like the next 5 years? Because to me, it would be Duran, Rafaela, Anthony.
Yeah.
And I feel like I think that's Cora's too, because Cora has come out and said that he's like, Roman Anthony's not going to be a full-time DH when he's 21 years old.
No, he needs to be an everyday outfielder.
Every single day.
He needs to just be not pencil him in. He's 21 years old. Yeah, pencil him in as an outfielder, and then Rafaela is clearly taking his game to another level and deserves to be an everyday player. And then I feel like Jaron Duran's, when he's right and he's your leadoff hitter, that's something that nobody else on the team can really replicate. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to diminish Willy Abreu's potential 30 home runs, but the Red Sox themselves over the last handful of years got 30 home run seasons out of like Hunter Renfro, mm-hmm. Adam Duvall, Tyler O'Neill.
And Tyler O'Neill has 18 hits this year.
What?
He's been hurt a lot, but he has 18 hits this year, and he's hitting like .180 in 40 games.
But he's jacked.
Yeah.
How many push-ups do you think he could do in one go?
All of them?
Every push-up
available. All of the push-ups?
120 push-ups consecutively.
Plus the thing that Rob said about getting moving Duran, how that would impact the locker room. I know he's a light guy, but he made it seem like if what you built back up from losing Devers would just be deflated getting rid of Duran.
Devers was the guy that like stuck out in a bad way, right? You're like, all right, if you're just talking chemistry, if you moved on from him, it might be an upgrade. Now it seems like they have a bunch of guys that are all sort of enjoying each other's company. They're all willing to do whatever it takes to win. They're all, you know, willing to move positions. But then within that, you do have guys that not that they're going to do this, but 2 weeks ago there were some suggestion like, well, if they can't extend Bregman, they'll trade him. Like that would be demoralizing.
Right.
Like Bregman's personality, I think Duran probably isn't on that short list. So they got to consider that. Don't know, though, if that's in their formulas. Like, that's the thing. Is like, this is when you get back into the stat stuff and, like, all the Brezbot jokes.
Yeah.
There's no formula for, like,
emotion,
locker room guy, chemistry, like, loose clubhouse guy. You're just looking at, like, well, his batting average is this. His OPS is this. It's like, yeah, but
these are humans.
These are human. Like, they're going to be emotional. And, hell, it's a weird thing, though, because I think they're all talking about adding to the team.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you do that, you do have to subtract.
Something has to be taken away.
So even if you don't trade a guy from the Major League roster, you're only allowed 26 of them on the active club. So Bregman and Crochet recruiting Joe Ryan. I love it. That's great. Recruit him. But then somebody's out. Somebody's going to get bounced out of that mix. So that part is kind of interesting. And we have 2 weeks to sort of figure that out. I feel like the last couple of years, it was like a week before the deadline trade started to like go.
Right, because then we're like, ooh, still got a week. Like, more stuff's going to happen.
Well, that's also because that's when they got rid of the waiver deadline, when other big names would move a month later.
Right, they don't do
like
the,
all the Red Sox guys.
They don't do the August 31st.
Like Justin Verlander was traded at the waiver deadline a couple years ago.
Oh, I was looking this up, actually, when Rob was talking about asking prices for Joe Ryan. And Verlander was one of those guys. And you got to go back a few years. But like Verlander, David Price actually got traded at the deadline, right? Wasn't that Rays to Jays? Remember, went to the Blue Jays.
And, I forgot that he was there.
Yeah, he went there.
Like, did he get traded for the Tigers?
The Tigers. I forgot.
The both of those stints.
Dude, that Detroit rotation was sick. Oh, like Scherzer also was a trade deadline guy. Cole Hamels, when he was actually good, he was another trade. Like
CeCe.
Sabathia.
Sabathia was a huge one.
And then Milwaukee just pitched him every game.
And he did awesome.
And he got like Cy Young votes. He went through like 10 starts or whatever it was. But yeah, there's a lot of guys that have been traded, but the problem is I don't know how many great ones have over the last few years. So maybe teams have started to go the other way with it and just ask for too much. And they're saying like, well, we can wait. You know, the Red Sox specifically acquired both Chris Sale and Garrett Crochet in the offseason. And I'm sure the previous trade deadline, those guys were in the mix because they were on bad White Sox teams, but they waited. Then got all they could take trade offers from all these different teams, compare them against each other, and get the best deal possible. But if you're the Red Sox, you want to sacrifice a potential playoff run and like what you do have going right now. Like that's why I hope they are really, really aggressive. And yet at the same time, I really don't want them to trade anything off of the current Major League roster. I'd be okay with Willie Abreu, but I think there's enough in the farm system that you could move on from. And the farm system for the Red Sox shouldn't be as important for as it would be for other teams, meaning they have so many guys at the major league level that are in their early 20s.
Right.
So, like, if Meyer, Anthony, and Campbell's not even at the minor major league level yet, but, like, and if you end up keeping Durant, like, if you have all these guys, like, where are those prospects going to play?
Right.
Like, you literally have a couple, almost,
jam. Yeah. You got people everywhere.
Everywhere. All right, you guys can join the show at 617-779-7937 on the Red Sox. Second half starts tomorrow against the Cubs. Lucas Giolito will get the start. It'll be a day game, too. So 2:20 first pitch here on WEEI. We've been looking at Jeremy Fowler's top 10 by position lists for NFL teams as voted on by scouts and executives around the league. Final couple of positions are out, wide receiver and corner. So we'll take a look at that and just look back at overall how the Patriots fared in those top 10s. Again, you can join us 617-779-7937. It's Jones and Keefe. Right now here is Billy Laney with What's Trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by CCL, your local Timber Tech dealer. The Red Sox return to action tomorrow afternoon to begin a 6-game road trip with a 3-game series against the Cubs in Chicago. Lucas Giolito will get the start in the series opener against the Cubs' Colin Ray. First pitch tomorrow afternoon is at 2:20. The Boston Celtics Summer League schedule continues tonight. The Seas will be taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. Tip-off from Las Vegas is at 8 o'clock, and this game can be seen on ESPN. Bruins' regular season schedule was released last night. The Bees will open the season on the road against the Washington Capitals on October 8th, with the home opener the next night against the Chicago Blackhawks. Brad Marchand and the Florida Panthers will visit the TD Garden on October 21st, and on February 1st, the Bees will play the Tampa Bay Lightning in an outdoor game at Raymond James Stadium as part of the NHL Stadium Series. And last night, the New England Revolution fell 5-3 to the Red Bulls in New York. Up next for the Revs, they host the Orlando City SC on Saturday night. It's never too early to start planning for your new deck and rail system from TimberTech. TimberTech is the number one premium advanced PVC and composite decking that captures the beauty of real wood. Visit CCL in Abington today to see the huge selection of TimberTech products, or check us out online at cclco.com. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Back here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. Jones off today and tomorrow. He'll be back on Monday. Billy Laney has slid over. Rob Bradford joined us earlier in the program. If you want to check that out, you can on the Odyssey app. We'll get back to baseball, which we obviously talked with Brad about, Bradford. Trade deadline 2 weeks from now. The Red Sox back taking on the Cubs tomorrow afternoon. And another thing we've been keeping tabs on is this Jeremy Fowler list. So Jeremy Fowler works for ESPN. It's not his list. He talks to a bunch of scouts, executives around the league, coaches as well, and he has them all vote on who the top 10 players are at each position. And then so you get your top 10, and then you get a couple of honorable mentions, and then a pile of also receiving votes. And so sometimes it ends up being like 25 different names. And we've sort of pointed out, maybe no surprise, Patriots have not exactly been well represented on this list.
Sounds about right.
So this is the order in which they have done it. Running back, no mention of anybody. So Stevenson, probably because of the fumbles last year. Travion Henderson, a second-round pick. So they are. It is like a projection for this year. So rookies are included. They're eligible. But running back, nobody. Defensive tackle, nobody. That surprised me. I thought Milton Williams would be on there, especially the season that he's coming off of, the big contract he signed. But no Milton Williams. Edge rusher, nobody. No surprise. Safety, Kyle Duggar was an also receiving votes. Yeah, that's something.
Right.
So he was somewhat recognized. At least he was on somebody's radar. Tight end, Hunter Henry was an honorable mention. So to this point, Hunter Henry is the highest ranked player at his position on the Patriots.
And he was your best receiver last year?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. Yeah. They split up offensive line to interior offensive line and tackle. Doesn't really matter. They didn't get anybody.
Nobody, yeah.
No. See, I feel like Onwenu maybe could have gotten a sniff, but he also went back and forth, so maybe, I don't know. And then maybe we just view him higher than the league does, clearly. Quarterback, nobody. And we also pointed out that between the top 10, the honorable mention, and the also receiving votes, 18 quarterbacks were mentioned. And so it doesn't mean Drake May's 19th, but that's the highest that he could have been. Off-ball linebacker, Robert Spillane.
All right.
Also receiving votes. Let's hear it for Robert Spillane. Very good. Wide receiver. I did not expect to have anybody on here. But just for those that are interested in this, which I am. I like a power ranking. I like a list. Jamar Chase, number one receiver in the league. That's fair.
Yep. Not going to argue that one.
Justin Jefferson. I think he might be my personal number one. But honestly, you can flip-flop
him. Flip those two. Yeah, right.
Doesn't really matter. Also insane that those guys played college football together. Number three, Tyreek Hill. I don't know about Tyreek. He's 31 years old now.
Right. Three seems a little high.
It does.
Still top five?
Yeah, probably. But I might put these next two guys above him. CeeDee Lamb is fourth.
Yep.
A.J. Brown, fifth.
Yeah, take them both over.
And they're all younger. I mean, Tyreek Hill, let's see how many guys are even in their 30s on this list. Number six is Amon-Ra St. Brown, who somehow is only 25.
Nuts.
Malik Nabers, who's 21. Is seventh on this list from the Giants. Nico Collins. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Joe. Nico Collins is eight. Mike Evans. Oh, there's a 31-year-old. He's ninth. And Garrett Wilson, who just signed that huge contract with the Jets, is 10th.
So what did you say? Two 30-year-olds in the top 10?
Yeah. Mike Evans and Tyreek Hill. Your honorable mentions for wide receiver. Again, this is according to coaches, general managers, and executives. Terry McLaurin, the first honorable mention. A guy whose name maybe is out there?
Out there.
I think ultimately he just signs a contract with the Commanders.
Right.
But if he doesn't, the Patriots should offer, I would start with the second round pick.
Make the call.
Yeah. See if that gets it done. I don't know if you're going to have to trade a first because he's also getting up there a little bit in age. But yeah, McLaurin I like a lot. Puka Nacua, the next honorable mention. Brian Thomas Jr. People might be sleeping on Brian Thomas Jr. He's a third honorable mention. Then DK Metcalf, who just joined the Steelers. T. Higgins, who is back with the Bengals. And then Devontae Adams, who's now with the LA Rams. So those are all of your honorable mentions. Then you get into also receiving votes for wide receivers. Devontae Smith, Ladd McConkey, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Jameson Williams, DJ Moore, Chris Godwin, George Pickens, Calvin Ridley, Jalen Waddle, and Cortland Sutton. I believe that's like 25 wide receivers.
Right. No Stephon Diggs.
No Diggs. No,
I mean, I get it. He's no coming Patriot. Off an injury, but still, I think there's got to be some kind of expectations where you would think you would get a vote. Receiving
maybe
a vote.
Get like a
I don't
Smith.
Know. I'm not saying, hey, where's honorable mention? I'm saying, hey, how about a vote?
Yeah, because how long ago, and this is, you know, the rich rules, if you were good 3 years ago, you're still good. 3 years ago, he was probably fifth, sixth. Like, he was way up there.
So then we're also talking about a injured receiver whose quarterback is not even on their list.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that hurts him.
It goes to show you how the Patriots are viewed kind of around the league. Like, I think
expectations are low.
Yes. But locally, they're kind of high.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're excited. You bring in Vrabel, you bring in Diggs, you know what I mean? You're making moves, and people are excited because we were so disappointed with last season that even the slightest move is going to perk you up a little bit for the team.
Yeah, that's true. And they did add talent, like, but you go from having almost no talent to adding talent. Doesn't mean you're top 10 across the league. But, yeah, the Steph Diggs one is pretty telling because, like, with him, you still have a really bad receiver room. Without him, like, you got
nothing.
You got nothing. And so just sort of – it also shows you how many good receivers are in the league. Like, Ladd McConkey was incredible last year, and he's not even an honorable mention. Like, there's that many good wide receivers in the league. You just don't have any of them.
He's second in the received votes. But
excuse me. Cornerback came out today. This is the last position they did. I believe it's the last position, cornerback. And this is where we all expected the Patriots to have a guy in the top 10, and they do. But here's the ranking. Pat Surtain, the second of the Broncos, is number one. Then Derek Stingley Jr., number two. Denzel Ward is three. Trent McDuffie is four. Sauce Gardner, who just signed a massive contract, is fifth. And then coming in number sixth is Christian Gonzalez. And they also, in addition to the ranking, they tell you the highest ranking a player got versus the lowest ranking they got. So somebody did vote Christian Gonzalez number one as the number one corner.
That's, you mean this poll? So that was...
Yeah.
So one of the execs said he was number one. Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. So like, yeah.
I'm just making sure I'm reading it right.
Yeah. So last year, it also has last year's ranking. So going into last year, he was an honorable mention. Like he got some votes, but he wasn't top 10, nor should he have been last year. Like last year, he went out and had an awesome year. Lowest ranking was unranked. So there are some in the league that don't think he's a top 10. I think that's outrageous. I think he's clearly number one. So one veteran NFL. So they also put in some quotes on this. I think it's a decent list because it's not one person's ranking. This is a lot of different people who come together for this. A veteran NFL assistant. So they leave it somewhat vague, but quote, I think Gonzo is the next great one. Skills, patience, length, and great interviews. No, it doesn't say that. He says he's the closest thing to Pat Surtain. Smooth, big athlete, travels a lot, can match up against the best guy. So I would agree. An NFL coordinator said he'll tackle, but I wouldn't call him physical, but he's got the size and coverage skills to put him on the outside, and he can handle himself, and he can also come up with play runs, or he can play run support and play within the construct of the defense. So, I mean, that seems like the one...
All
like,
good things.
Yeah, like the one unanimous guy. The question will then become, in another year, will they pay him? But as of right now, that's like the one stud that they have.
Mm.
And that checks out. I think that's how
it's going to be a lot of money to keep him around here.
Agreed. So they don't have anybody else in the top 10. Honorable mentions, they don't have.
Nothing.
Carlton Davis wasn't also receiving votes.
Got a vote. All right.
So you have, as far as just recognized players, you have in the whole league, they do top 10 at every position. So whatever, that's well over 100 players that they mention. And you have actually way more than 100 because of all the honorable mentions and the also receiving votes. Let's call it 200 players. They have... Five.
Okay, that's not bad.
Something.
It's a building.
It's a start because they would have had how many last year?
Probably just
a good point.
Gonzo. And
I don't
Henry,
even know if Gonzo would have done it because he only played 2.5 games.
No. He was an honorable mention. It said.
Oh, last. Okay.
Yeah. So somebody must have given him a vote based off of.
Well, he was tracking
games.
Defensive player of the year.
He was. But I mean, Duggar, Henry, Gonzalez are all back from last year, and then they added Carlton Davis and Spillane.
Duggar might be the biggest surprise on the list.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't have put Duggar on there. I'm surprised that Milton Williams and Steph Diggs didn't even get like a little bit of acknowledgement.
Right.
For like the, because those are two guys I was like excited that they signed, and yet it's like, no. But he did get Robert Spillane. Like, all right.
Here we are digging. We're like, oh my God, how do they not also receive a vote?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like honorable mentions, one thing, top 10's another, but come on.
But then I still feel like they're going to win 9 or 10 games, which is outrageous because I agree overall with this list that they don't have a very talented team.
Right.
And yet I'm like, they can win 9 games. Like, how can they? If some other team had one top 10 player in the league, you wouldn't think they were going to be a player.
Right.
Team.
And as I mentioned earlier, it's just the fact that last year was so bad.
Yeah, that's what
that
it is.
The slightest changes and adjustments they made to this year has given you some excitement, something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Make my Sundays worth it.
I agree. Let's grab a phone call here. We got Kiefer Madness coming up, and then Davey from the Dork Podcast is going to join us at 1. But let's grab a call. We got John in Rhode Island on the Red Sox. John, what do you have, sir?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I just want to say, Keith, I met you in Newport and Jones about 2 months ago. Jones called me Dave from Rhode Island, and then later that night, my wife asked for divorce. So, honestly, one of the best days of my life.
Here you go.
So, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just wanted to talk to you about, you guys were talking about the trade deadline. I don't have a name. I don't have a player, but whatever happened, I believe in Craig Breslow. I don't know why, but between the Rafaela and Brian Bello early signings, the all-star free agent acquisitions, the trade of Devers, he kind of gets it. And I never thought I'd say that I believe in Craig Breslow, but for this trade deadline, I do believe in him.
All right, there you go. That's an Adam Jones call right there. Jones has been very pro-Breslow. It's hard not to be pro-Breslow from the offseason.
Right.
Like, everything he did in the offseason was good. We were doing top five current Red Sox. They were all basically new to the team. I mean, the fifth one we all had a trouble with, but like Crochet, Chapman, Bregman, and then the run he was at Carlos Narvaez.
Right.
Because we did this list before Rafaela really took off. Rafaela would be on the list now. But like those were all guys brought in by Breslow. But the trade deadline is huge because the trade deadline is what made me the most upset with Heim Bloom while he was here. And then last year with Breslow, sort of like, you added bodies, but you didn't add anybody of real value. So
yeah, he's had a good offseason.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, too, is I think what hurts Breslow is it sounds terrible to say, but people kind of lose it when he starts talking.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because it's just the way it is. It's like you start to think that way. It's like, oh, this is what he's thinking. This is how he's going to do it. And then you see the moves he makes. You're like, all right, it's something.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good stuff that he's doing.
He uses giant words. He sounds like a robot. And you're like, oh.
Right. It's tough to get behind it. Yeah.
It is. So if you want to talk about the Red Sox second half, which gets underway tomorrow against the Cubs, and what you want them to do at the deadline, which is now 2 weeks away, feel free at 617-779-7937. Coming up next, we got Kiefer Madness here on WEEI. All right, here we go. Time for the Madness on Jones and Keith, WEEI. Jones off today. Billy Lanny has slid over. We got a double Madness for you today, Bill. Really? Double the Madness.
Never seen it from this angle.
No, it's going to be pretty intense.
Excited for it.
I would imagine. Let's find out about a new app. There are a lot of apps out there. I feel like that's where you can really make your money on a new app like that. Get people excited about it. They download this bad boy, and that's when the riches come in. So let's see if this is an app that you think could take off.
A new Disney app. This is interesting. Could help Disney lovers to find their happily ever after.
So it's called Single Riders, and it's designed for people who share a mutual passion for the parks.
I'm surprised it's not already a thing.
Single Riders? I feel like that's code for something, but either way.
So is it? It's a Disney-based dating app.
Yeah, so it's like people that go to Disney, adult Disney goers that want to meet fellow adult Disney goers.
I feel like, why do you need an app? Just go.
Isn't that every dating app?
Right.
Kind of show, or you just sort of show up and be like,
who's single?
Yeah, because a lot of those rides I think have like a single ride. You're like, hey, you're by yourself. Want to get going here?
Adults.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of adults who frequent Disney World without the kids.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a tone there. I think they are.
She's very judging.
They both are. Yeah. I think they both are kind of looking down on people that go to Disney without kids. They are, but they're like, they don't want to fully say it, but you can tell that they think it's beneath them anyway.
Adults.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of adults who frequent Disney World without the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Especially Epcot, and I guess I didn't know that was a thing.
All the parks, frankly.
The team behind the app will start looking for testers soon.
They are very dismissive.
Yeah, extremely dismissive.
They don't care for these people.
Well, la-di-da, you found love another way. Yeah. So let's not mock the ones that have to do it through a Disney app.
Yeah, if they find love, great. If they get their happily ever after because of a date down there, so be it.
Right, I know like Disney, doesn't Disney have an app where it's like you punch in a ride and it lets you know how long the wait is?
Yes.
So I don't know how you just don't piggyback off that. When you sign up for said app, you're like single.
Like, by the way, I'm here. Now, adult Disney goers get a bad rap. People, it's low-hanging fruit. People pile on them. It is odd. I'll tell you, the last time, I don't care. Like, go ahead and do it. If you want to go. There's plenty of cool stuff. Trust me.
You want to spend that money? Go nuts.
Star Wars, Marvel. There's a lot of cool stuff. You go like the Universal stuff. I've never been to the Florida one. I've told the story. I went to the Disneyland last year.
Just had a birthday, I think, Disneyland.
Is that right?
I think so.
How many years?
I don't remember. I think yesterday was like the anniversary of when it first opened.
But there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, I think Shine said this morning, 70.
Looks great.
But it was weird. So I was at Canopy Lake Park. I told this story.
Disney Junior.
Couple, sick brag, basically, bro. The Disney of the Northeast.
The Northeast. It's a toss up between that and Storyland.
True. True.
But yeah, no.
No love for Santa's Village.
So like, true. I wasn't mad, but I was sort of just puzzled. There was like a few rides that like these adults that didn't look like they were having fun were like going on together.
Yeah.
And you're like.
Like the carousel?
Yeah, carousel is one of them. Like,
oh, that the sky ride
adults.
They have?
No, it wasn't even the sky ride. It was like a carousel, which is like a super long line because there's not an easy like on off. You got to like really slow it down.
You got to jump
card
on
at a time.
You got to run along the side and then jump on.
But I'm like sitting there waiting in line with Cece for it. And like these group of adults that didn't even look like they're having fun. I'm like, what are you doing?
Right. Trying to probably re-spock the relationship.
I guess. Now we have a different type of story altogether. This is nothing to do with Disney. In fact, this one's is a little bit more macabre.
Okay.
This one's a little bit more not for the squeamish.
Now to a disturbing discovery at a Victorville gas station. It went viral, but now it appears.
All right, Bill, let's have you guess. A disturbing discovery at a gas station. What do we got?
The hot dogs.
Oh, could be.
The hot dogs on the roller.
They didn't pass inspection.
Correct.
They've been sitting there for a little while. That's a good guess.
Now to a disturbing discovery at a Victorville gas station. It went viral, but now it appears it was all just an elaborate prank.
Yeah, and that hoax is turning heads and a few stomachs as well. And we want to warn you, we're going to show you this video, but it could be upsetting for some of you sensitive viewers, certainly young children as well.
Also, spoiler alert, they blur it. So
and
he's
how
like
young children are watching the news.
Yeah, exactly.
My he's son.
Like, that's true.
Every morning,
Benny loves
knows,
Channel 7.
Yeah, every morning, Benny knows Amaka's on TV.
He knows the weather. I mean, he can speak to the weather. But yeah, so this guy's like, guys, I'm sorry. Like, if you're a kid, please step out of the room. If you're squeamish, this is not for you. Then they cut to just like a blurred thing. Like, you'd have no idea what it was.
Right. The kid got through like 3 or 4 murder stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like murder, gas station prank.
Kid, go to bed. I can't let you see this gas station story.
You don't want to hear about this gas station prank.
But take a look. A teddy bear that was believed to be made out of human remains and skin.
A teddy bear made out of human remains and skin.
I feel like that's
Where's
something.
Stiz? Did he do this?
Stiz, I think this is right up Stiz's alley.
I feel this
he
like
probably
a,
has one of these.
I feel like this is like a spirit Halloween prop. Like, you know, going to a spirit, you can get like the weird like demon babies and like weird looking thing. I'm assuming they got this at a spirit.
Yeah. And but they left it at a gas station and then people panicked and they were like, is this a message? Like, what is this? Right. This is like a skin. They put skin all over a teddy bear, which is gross.
Of course.
It's legitimately gross, but I don't know if people are losing their lunch over this.
But take a look. A teddy bear that was believed to be made out of human remains and skin was found this afternoon outside of an AM/PM on Bear Valley Road. Now, police cordoned off the area and they began investigating it. And soon, a horror special effects artist who makes elaborate macabre props came forward claiming that he had made the bear.
Thank God. Oh.
Thank God there's no Leatherface running around.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it's just a little teddy bear. Not a lot of skin. Just a little bit of skin.
And that it's not actually human skin. Ooh. It's rather latex. He says the bear was purchased, though, just last week by somebody in Victorville, and that it was likely just left at the gas station as a prank. The special effects studio is based out of Somerville, South Carolina, apparently, where the creator, Robert Kelly, has a whole collection of terrifying props.
Was it comedian Robert Kelly?
Yeah, Robert Kelly. Somerville, Robert Kelly? Like, no, it's not any of that stuff. So,
there's probably a poor kid who's like, where is my skin bear?
Yeah.
Because they left it on the parents took it out, put it on top of the roof of the car.
Yeah,
drove off with it. Yep. Now some poor child is depressed because their skin bear is MIA.
But they, like, called the police. It was concerning. But luckily, the prop guy was like, that's mine.
One of the things that we're known for is that we make a lot of these, of props that are fake human skin.
Nice.
All right. Who is it for? Who are you making these for?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Right.
What's your thing? Like, actually,
you can't call a
hobby
a career.
No. But it's probably a bigger market than you'd like.
So those are all made out of latex. They're generally created from a mold. I mean, our stuff is pretty recognizable in the industry.
Brag,
right?
Put that guy down for brag of the week.
Right, let's look it up.
What
company
we have
is this?
The best skin bears.
We have ours. People specifically call us for our skin. They're so realistic. Our skin bears.
So once, I guess a few hours ago when all this started happening, my phone started blowing up and Facebook started blowing up.
Oh, yeah, your Facebook started blowing up? good text. Teddy Ruxpin rolling over in his grave. Teddy Ruxpin didn't do all that work so people could be leaving skin bears at the gas station.
With, you know, people, you know, this looks like your stuff. Is this yours? And I was like, it definitely looks like mine.
Well, the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department says that a coroner investigator has the bear tonight and would not comment further on whether it was actually a prank.
Wow.
I'm surprised he didn't throw his rival under the bus.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a so-and-so. I can tell by the stitching. Yeah. That's a so-and-so
that's
bear.
A trash bear.
That's not us.
That's trash. All right, there you go. There's the double madness here today on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We have 3 hours down, 1 hour to go. Grab bag, of course, at 1:20. But coming up next, Ryan Davey from the hashtag Dork Podcast will join us. Talk some TV and movie with him coming up next.